The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's parsha is Parshas Vayeshev. Vayeshev Yaakov be'eretz Megurei Aviv be'eretz Kanaan. And Yaakov dwelled in the land where his father was living, in Eretz Kanaan, which is Eretz Yisrael. And this is speaking of after Yaakov returned, finally, from the house of Lavan to his father's house, to Yitzchok. Ele told us Yaakov, these are the generations of Yaakov, Yosef ben Shva Esrei Shono Hoya, Reya Es ben Shva Hoya, Reya Es Echol Batzoin. The generations of Yaakov, Yosef, who was 17 years old. He was a shepherd, together with his brothers, with the sheep, Vuhunar Es Bnei Bilov Es Bnei Zilpa Neshei Aviv. And he was especially friendly with the children of Bilo and the children of Zilpa. These were the sons of the two maidservants, the wives of his father. Vayove Yosef es dibosom ro el avihem. Yosef brought all of the evil slander against his brothers to their father. Yisrael ohav es Yosef mikol bonov ki ved shkunim eloi. And Yisrael loved Yosef more than all of his sons because he was a son of his old age. Vasalek Shenis Pasim, and he made him a coat of many colors. Vayiru Echov, ki Eisei Ohav Aviyem Mikol Echov, and his brothers saw that the father loved Yosef more than all of the brothers. Vayishnu Eisei, and they hated him. Vilayochlu Dabri Lesholem, and they could not speak together with him with peace. And then Yosef had a dream, and he told his brothers, and this only caused more hatred. And he said, this is the dream that I had, that all of the sheaths of the grain, we were all represented as a sheath of grain, and every mine was standing up straight, and every other, and all of the others bowed down to mine, and they said, Amolo ektim lecholenu, will you reign over us? Yimoshel tim shalbonu, will you rule us? And they this only added more hatred towards Yosef and what he would say. Then he had another dream, and he said that I dreamt that there was the sun and the moon and 11 stars, and they all bowed down to me, and this represented his father and his mother and the 11 brothers. And he told over the dream to his father and to the brothers, and his father scolded him, quieted him. What is this dream? What is this dream that you are dreaming? Will I and your mother come together and bow down to you, and all of your brothers and bow down to you, especially due to the fact that his mother Rochel had already died? So his brothers became very jealous, but his father guarded carefully this that Yosef was dreaming. And Rashi tells us that he was hoping and waiting for the fulfillment of the dream that Yosef would rule. This is the beginning of the parsha. The sages tell us and Rashi brings it. What does it mean, Eile told us Yaakov, Yosef ben Shvas Reishon? These are the generations of Yaakov, and then it tells us of Yosef. Yaakov had 12 sons, and it only mentions Yosef. So Rashi brings, Umedrish Agoda Derish, Tola Akosov told us Yaakov be Yosef. That the Torah refers to the toldis Yaakov, to the generations of Yaakov with Yosef. When we're speaking about the generations of Yaakov, we're speaking of Yosef. There's another statement from the Chazal that Rashi asks, What are the smichus of the parshas? The end of last week's parsha lists all of the kings and all of the rulers that would be born from Esav. And now it starts with Eile told us Yaakov Yosef, that these are the generations of Yaakov. What is the relevance between the two parshas? So Rashi brings Dova Acher. It's in parentheses in our Rashi. Vayeshev Yaakov ha-pishtoni hazeh nichmesu gmolov tu'unim pishton. There was a person who dealt in flax, and camels came in laden with flax. Apachami tomo ono yikones kol ha-pishton hazeh. The blacksmith that saw this, he wondered, where are you going to put all of this flax? So there was one fellow who was clever, and he said, one spark that will come from your fire, and you won't have a problem where to put all the flax. Yaakov saw all of the generals and all of the monarchs and the rulers that were to be born from his arch enemy, Esav, his brother Esav. And he wondered who is capable of conquering all of these. So Maksiv Lamata, so therefore the Torah immediately writes, Eile toldos Yaakov Yosef. These are the generations of Yaakov Yosef. Through Yosef, all of the kings and the rulers of Esav will be destroyed. Uksiv, we have a posik in Uvadjo that it was in last week's Haftera. Behoye beis Yaakov eish, the house of Yaakov will be a fire. Ubeis Yosef lehava, and the house of Yosef, of Joseph, will be a flame. Yaakov will be the fire, like the coal, and the flame will be Yosef. Ubeis Esav lekash, and the house of Esav will be straw. A flame will come out from Yosef and destroy all of Esav. And these two statements, or these two principles, are reiterated many times. And to cite two of them, one was in Parshas Vayetze. In Parshas Vayetze, when Yaakov was working in the house of Lavan, and he was there for many years, and he worked 7 years for Rachel, for Leah, and then another 7 years for Rachel, and then for the sheep. So the Torah tells us in Perek Lamed Posuk Chof Hei, right after Rachel gave birth to Yosef, Yaakov said to Lavan, send me away so I can go back to my place and to my land. Give me my wives, give me my children. And the sages ask, why now? He's there so many years, and all of a sudden Yosef is born. Yosef was not the first child. Right? All of the children were born already. Binyamin wasn't. And Yosef is born. And now he says, I want to go back. So Rashi again brings, Mishaneleid Sitnei Shel Esav. When Yosef was born, the Sitnei, the power that was to overcome Esav, was born. Yaakov was afraid to go back because he knew that Esav was there and Esav wanted to kill him. And this was not only a physical struggle, this also was a great spiritual struggle between these two great giants, as we explained in several shiurim of the past. So Yaakov was afraid to return. But once Yosef was born, then no longer was he afraid to return. Because when Yosef was born, Neileit Sitnei Shel Esav, the power that would destroy Esav also was born. And Rashi again quotes what we said. V'hoye beis Yaakov eishu beis eisiv lahova beis eisiv lakash. That Yaakov is a fire. He's a coal. And Yosef is the flame. And Esav is straw. Eish b'leilav e'nishelit l'merchok. You can have a coal, but if it doesn't have a flame, so it cannot do any damage far away. Once Yosef was born, then Yaakov had confidence and faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he wanted to return. And one more place we see this from, in Parshas Vayishlach, last week's Sedra, as Yaakov was returning and he met Yosef, and he met Esav. In Pasuk, at the beginning of the Seder, Bereish Islam in Pasuk Kei and Vov, he sent messengers or angels to confront Esav, and he commanded them to say, Kaseimrun la Adoni la Esav. This is what you shall tell my Lord Esav. Kayamar abdecho Yaakov im lovan gauti vo echar ad oto. This is what your servant Yaakov has said, that I have been with Lavan all of this time until now. And I have shor means that I have bulls, chamor, donkeys, sheep, eved and shifcha, servants and maidservants. The simple meaning of the text is he was telling Esav, eshlecho lahagid ladoni limtzochein, I'm sending to you. But the Chazal Darshan in the Medrash, Vayhili Shor, I have Shor, Zeh Yosef. Yosef symbol was that of the Shor. In the Brochas and Parshas Vayechi, so there he was called the Shor, Bechor Shor Hodolai. In these Brochas and in at the end of the Sefer Torah, Yosef was symbolized by the shor, by the bull, by the ox. And when Yaakov was telling Esav, Vayhili shor, he wasn't telling him that I have a lot of oxen. He was telling him, don't start up with me. Because Vayhili shor, ze Yosef. Because I have Yosef. And if you start up, you will not succeed. The Medrash goes on to tell us that the Chamor, he was referring also to someone. Chamor ze Yisochar. The symbol of Chamor, of Yisochar, was Chamor. Shor ve Chamor, Yosef in Yisochar. But the first one he mentioned was Yosef. So therefore, do not start up, because I have Yosef. So we see these two principles. Firstly, that the Iker told this Yaakov, the main generations of Yaakov, was Yosef. And secondly, the Sitnei Shel Esav, the one who would have the power to destroy Esav, was Yosef. These are the two principles we see from here. What is the reasons? What are the reasons for this? The reasons the Torah tells us in our parsha, in the Pasuk we read, Pasuk Gimel, V'Yisrael ohav es Yosef mikol bonov, ki ven zkunim hulei. Yisrael, Yaakov, loved Yosef more than all of his other sons, because he was a ben zkunim, he was the son of his old age, v'oselek seinis pasim, and therefore he made for him a coat of many colors. Now the simple meaning is he was the son of his old age, that's why he loved him. But this is not exactly correct, because he was not really the Ben Zekunim. Binyamin was the Ben Zekunim. Binyamin was the son of the old age. By nature, a parent always has a special love for the son of the old age, for the baby of the family, even after he grows up. But this was not Yosef, this was Binyamin. So therefore, our Chazal darshan the word Ben Zekunim, that it must come to tell us something else. Not simply that Yaakov loved Yosef because he was the son of his old age. And then Rashi brings two pshotim. Unkel is tirgem bar chochemhu. Lay. Targum Unkel says, what does it mean, ben zikunim, from the word zokain? The Gemara in the Dorin tells us zokain, zeshakona chochma. What is a zokain? A zokain doesn't mean an old person, it means a person who is old in wisdom. Zeshakona chochma, a wise person. This is why Yaakov loved Yosef more than all of the sons, because he was the wisest of all of the sons. And kol ma sheloman mishem ve'ever mosalei, and therefore all of the Torah that Yaakov studied by the yeshiva of Shem ve'ever. We learned before that when Yaakov fled from Esav and went to the house of Lavan, the sages calculate where there was an absence of 14 years. Those 14 years, Nitman bebeis Shem ve'ever, he hid in the yeshiva of Shem ve'ever and he studied Torah by day and by night. He studied Torah so much that the Torah tells us in Parshas Vayetze, Vayishkav b'makom ahu, that when he came to the place after that, he was leaving the yeshiva and he continued his travel to the house of Lavan, and he came to Beis El. This was the place of the Beis HaMikdosh, and he slept, and he had his dream. It says there he lay down, but for 14 years before he didn't lay down, but he studied Torah day and night. And this was Yaakov's midah. Yaakov was the quality of Torah. He was the ish tam yeshiv olim, the perfect one, the one of Torah who dwelled in the tents of Torah. And all of this Torah that he studied by Shem ve'ever, all of the Torah and all of the great secrets of the Torah, he gave over to Yosef. Not to the other sons, but to Yosef. And he would spend the majority of his time studying Torah with Yosef. This is one interpretation which the sages say, ki ben zikunim hulay. He loved Yosef more than all of the other sons because he saw in him the greatness of Torah, the greatness of the wisdom of the Torah, and he saw in him a vessel which he could impart to him all of the wisdom that he had studied by Shem ve'Ever. And then a second interpretation. Another reason it means that he was that Yaakov loved Yosef. What does it mean, ben zikunim? Zivu kinun. This is what it means, ben zikunim. That the light and complexion and appearance of his face was similar to that of Yaakov. He looked like Yaakov, and the shine of his face was like that of Yaakov. And therefore he loved him. And because of this, also like Seinus Pasim, he gave to him a cloak of many colors. So here the Torah is telling us why Yaakov loved him more than all of the other sons. Now what does this mean? It means as follows. As we learned in the other parshas, Yaakov was the perfection of all of the Ovis, of Avram and Yitzchok. Abraham was the first pillar, and Yitzchok was the second. But they were not perfect. It was Yaakov who became the perfect one. And he reached greater heights than his predecessors. He perfected them, and he combined all of their qualities. And therefore it's brought, ki soriso im elokim v'manoshim v'tuchal, that you have reigned, you have ruled over God, you have ruled over men, and you were successful. This is why it states, Mitosei Shlema, that even though Avraham gave birth to Yishmael, and Yitzchak gave birth to an Esav, the children of Yaakov were all perfect. Kulam tzaddikim, kulam giborim, kulam noyim. They were all perfect. They were all righteous. They were all strong. They were all beautiful. And on all of them, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wrote his name. Shiftei Kor, Eidus Yisrael. There was no rejection from any of his seed. This represents his perfection. And this is why it states in the Gemara that the Tzurasei Shel Yaakov Chakuka B'Kisei HaKovod, that the image of Yaakov is hewn out in the throne of the Almighty. He came closer to the Almighty than any other person. And as we mentioned in the previous Shurim, the Gemara brings in Chulin and Av Tzadik Aleph, that when he was sleeping and the angels were going down the ladder and up the ladder, so the Gemara says, what was the flurry of activity? They were going up to see the holy throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and there they saw the image of a man, and they came down to see this man sleeping here, and they saw it was the same person, and they wanted to kill him because a person of this world has stolen the image off the throne of the Almighty. Vashem nitzav olav l'shemrei, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to guard him. This represented the height that Yaakov reached. It represented the perfection of man. That the highest perfection that anyone attained in this world was Yaakov Avinu. And therefore Israel, the nation of Israel, was called on his name. He had perfected all of the qualities of Abraham and of Yitzchak. And then he created the 12 Shvatim, the 12 tribes. This was Yaakov Avinu. Now, even though all of the 12 tribes were all righteous, and they were all great, and each one inherited a quality of their father, the 12 tribes, which were the foundation of Klal Yisrael, together they were Yaakov Avinu, each one inherited a quality. But the main heir, the Iker Yoresh, was Yosef. Yaakov bequeathed to Yosef more quality and more powers than to any other son. And this was his main heir. And this is why it states, Eile told us, Yaakov Yosef, Tola HaKosuv told us, Yaakov be Yosef, that the Torah refers to the generation of Yaakov by writing Yosef. Yosef was the Iker Yoresh. He was the one who would follow in his father's footsteps the closest, who would inherit all of these brachas and all of these powers and all of this perfection that Yosef had, that Yaakov had. And the reason for this, why Yosef more than any other son? The reasons for this are two. One reason is because Yosef was the Bechor. He was the firstborn of Yaakov. Even though Reuven was the firstborn, And there were many sons born before Yosef. There was Reuben and Shimon and Levi and Yehuda and so forth. Yosef was almost the last son to be born. But Yaakov considered him also his firstborn. Why? Because even though Reuben was the firstborn from Leah, Yosef was the firstborn from Rachel. Firstborn of all of the Shvatim. And from Leah was Reuben. But the firstborn from Rachel was Yosef. And this in some ways made Yosef even a greater firstborn than Reuben. Because Rachel was the main wife of Yosef, not Leah. Sages tell us shekol atzmei shel Yaakov lo avad etzel Lovan ela bishvil Rachel. The whole reason why Yaakov went to the house of Lovan was for Rachel. The whole reason why he worked for Lovan so many years was for Rachel. He married Leah because he was deceived. And the sages tell us that even the children of Leah admit to this. Because in the Sefer Rus, in Parshas Dalet, Pasuk Yud Aleph, when Boaz was marrying Rus, so they all gave a brocha. They said, Yitein Hashem aso isha, haba el beisfa, kirochel veleya, haba el beisecho, kirochel veleya, asher bonu shtehem es beish Yisrael. That this woman that you are taking into your house, she should be like Rachel and Leah, that together they built the house of Israel. And first they said Rachel, and then they said Leah. And these were the sons of Leah. Because Boaz was from Yehuda. And Yehuda was a son. Yehuda was the third son of... Yehuda was the fourth son of Leah. So even the children of Leah agree to this. And we don't find anywhere, except by Rachel, where it writes Eshishakrif. Rachel was the one who was referred to as the wife of Yaakov. And we see also that Rachel was called the Akeres Abayis. Since she was the main wife of Yaakov, and the wife is the Akeres Abayis, is the foundation of the house, she was called the foundation of the house. And the Medrash states that Yisrael will be called by the names of Rachel's sons, Habein Yakil Ephraim, that Yisrael is referred to as Ephraim, my beloved son Ephraim. And Ephraim was the grandson of Rachel, the son of Yosef. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Rachel. And on Shabbos we had the opportunity to speak as to why was Rachel buried on the roadside. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that when Klal Yisrael goes into Golus, when children disperse, they need the unity of the house to bring them together again. And the unity of the house comes from the mother. It's the mother that unites the home. And the mother of Yisrael was Rachel. And therefore when they disperse, they go into Golus and they will be going down the road, Rachel will have to be there to be mispalel for them, to weep for them, and to pray for them. So being the firstborn of Rachel, this placed Joseph as the firstborn of Yaakov Avinu, even though Reuben also was the firstborn. And this is what is meant when Leah gave birth to Reuben. Parshas Vayishlach. No, in Parshas Vayetze. When Leah gave birth to Reuven, this is in Bereishis Chof Tes, Posuk Lamed Beis, Vatar Leah Vatelet Bein, Vatikra Shmai Reuven. She called him Reuven. So Rashi brings from the Gemara in Brochas, Daf Zayin, what does it mean, Reuven? Comes from the word Reu Bein. Reu, see my son.
Ru'u ma bein b'ni leven chomi.
See the difference in my son and between the son of my father-in-law. The son of Leah's father-in-law, that was Esav.
Shemocha habachere le'yakov v'zele mochere le'yesev v'le'yirol.
Esav sold the firstborn right to Yaakov. So he gave it to him legally. And still, he challenged it. He pursued it. He wanted to kill Yaakov because he took his firstborn right from him. V'zele mochere le'yesev. And my son, who is the firstborn, never sold his birthright to Yosef. And still lay Irol Alov. He never challenged it. When Yaakov declared Yosef as the firstborn, Reuven never challenged it. He never contested it. And not only he didn't hate him for it, but when the sons wanted to kill Yosef, Reuven said, why should we kill him? Put him into the pit and our hands will be clean. And his plan was he would return to save him. So Reuven, see the difference between my son and the son of my father-in-law. Esav legally gave the birthright away, and still he hated Yaakov for it, and he contested it. While my son never gave his birthright away, and still he never hated Yosef. He never contested it. So we see that Yosef was the firstborn in the eyes of Yaakov, the one to inherit these qualities from. And this is the reason why it states that he loved him more than all of the other sons. V'oselek shenis pasim. He made him this coat of many colors. This was a sign that he was the firstborn. And the firstborn was to be the leader. And this was the symbol of leadership. And this is what the Vilna Gaon writes in his Pirush in the Haggadah Shel Pesach. That's one reason why Yosef was to become the main heir of Yaakov. There's another reason. And that's what the Medrash tells us, and Rashi brings, Shohaya Deimele, that he was similar to Yaakov. He looked like Yaakov. Shoyozivu Kinan Deimele, the light of his face, the shine and splendor of his face was that of Yaakov. Now this is something which is very important, that he looked like Yaakov. We would say just because he happens to have the same appearance, so therefore what? No, this was very important. Because the appearance of Yaakov Avinu was very important. The Gemara tells us in Bometzi in Perek HaSecher Sapeilim, Shufra de Yaakov ke Shufra Dor Marishun. The appearance of Yaakov was like the appearance of the first man, Odom HaRishon. The shine and the splendor of his face was that of Odom HaRishon. And what does this mean? And we explained this at length in the last few shurim. That Odom HaRishon was given two great attributes from the Almighty. He made him, V'osalei b'tzelem elikim, he made him in the image of the Almighty, and he made for him clothing. Now the image, this is the spirit that he gave him. And the clothing that he made for him, this was the physical garb. And Yaakov and Esav, who were twins, and both tremendous giants, giants of the spirit, and from them were to become the greatest nations of the world. Israel, Israel from Yaakov, and Edom, the great empire of Edom and Rome from Esav. And it states that Vayisreitzesu Habonim, that they were quarreling and struggling, that they wanted to inherit both worlds. Yaakov was destined for the spirit of the world, where he would be the master over the spiritual world. And Esav was destined to be the master of the physical world. So Yaakov inherited the spirit of Adam HaRishon, and he became the master of the Tzelem Elohim. And Esav inherited the physical entity of Adam HaRishon. And that's why the Gemara tells us that Esav ended up with the clothing of Adam HaRishon. The clothing that he kept by Rivka with the clothing of Esav. Excuse me, with the clothing of Adam HaRishon. And there's a Gemara we quoted in last week's shir, that the Romans would make a great holiday once every 70 years, and they would dress up a man in the clothing of Adam HaRishon, and this was to represent their master Esav. And Rashi tells us that it's hidden away in the treasures of Rome. And this we went into at length. So Yaakov was to be the master and the perfection of the image of the Almighty, which is imbued in man. And that image, the Chazal tell us, has its greatest manifestation in the splendor and the shine of a person's face. Chochmas Odom Tearponov, that the wisdom of Torah of a person, this shows and brings light to his face. And therefore, when it tells us that Shufra de Yaakov, Kishufra de Adam HaRishon, that the shine and splendor of Yaakov's face was that of Adam HaRishon, it is telling us that he was the master over the Tzelem Elohim, over the image of Hashem. So now, if the Torah tells us, Shehoyu, what does it mean, Ben Zikunim Hulai? He was a son of his Zikunim, Shoyozivu Kinun, Deimelai, that the splendor of Yosef was that of Yaakov. Torah is telling us something very great indeed, that Yosef also acquired this great splendor, this great shine. And therefore Yisrael Ohav es Yosef mikol bonov, he loved him more than all of the other sons, because he saw in him this great spirit, this great Tzelem Elohim. And the Torah constantly speaks of the great beauty of Yosef. And this is where he inherited from. It tells us a little further in the Parsha that when he went down to Egypt and he was thrown into the dungeon, it states in Lamates Posuk Vov, by Yosef Yifei Sayar Yifei Mare, Yosef was extremely beautiful. It states that when he was sent down to Egypt, so Potiphar bought him. The reason why he bought him, the Chazal tell us, because he was so possessed with his beauty. Then the Torah tells us of Ashes Potiphar. The wife of Potiphar was overpowered with his beauty. And the Medrash goes into many examples. All of the women of Egypt were overpowered with his beauty. And in the Brochas, in Parshas Vayechi, when Yaakov blesses his sons, so to Yosef he says, this is in Memtes Posachov Beis, Bein Peiris Yosef, Bein Peiris Ale Oim, that Yosef is a son of beauty. Beno Soadu Ale Shur, the daughters of Egypt would go up Alachema, they would go up on the walls to gaze at Yosef when he became the king of Egypt, when he would march down the streets. So great was his beauty. And they would throw, the Medrash tells us, they would throw their jewelry at him, trying to distract his attention. But Yosef would look straight ahead.
This beauty had come from the shufra of Yaakov, had come from the beauty of Yaakov. And the beauty of Yaakov had come from the beauty of Adam HaRishon. And this was the image which was engraven on the Kisei HaKovod, on the throne of the Almighty. That the angels, when they saw this, they were mekana, they were jealous, and they were zealous. How can a man from this world steal that from the throne of the Almighty? So when the Torah is telling us that he was like Yaakov, it is telling us something very great. Because he was like Yaakov, because he had this splendor which represented the Tzelem Elokim, the spirit of Yaakov, therefore hoyamos alei kol chokhma shalomad etzel shem ve'ever. Therefore he taught him all of the Torah that he studied by shem ve'ever. Because if you recall, when we gave a shir and Parshas told us, there the Torah explains to us what Esav was and explains to us what Yaakov was. And on the description of Yaakov, it states Ish Tam Yesheva Olim. Yaakov was the Ish Tam. He was the person who was perfectly upright. He could not deceive like Esav. He was the opposite of the world of Sheker, a falsehood. He was Tam like Torah. Torah is Hashem Tmimo, because Torah is perfect and upright. Yosheva Olim, who dwelled in the tents of Shem Ve'ever. So the quality of Yaakov was that of the perfection of Torah. When he saw that Yosef had become the heir of this quality, therefore he gave to him all of his Torah. And that's why both droshes can be expounded from Ki Ben Zekunim Hulai. He was the son of the Zivu Kinun. He had the splendor of Yaakov, and he was the son of his Chochmah, of his wisdom. And therefore all of his Torah he gave to Yosef. And therefore he made for him a Ksenis Pasim, a cloak of many colors. Not because Yosef needed another cloak that the others didn't have. This cloak represented Malchus, represented kingship. Because Yaakov was priming him to become the king over all of the brothers. There were 12 sons, there had to be a king. And the king would be the greatest heir, the one who inherit the qualities of Yaakov. So therefore he was priming Yosef, and he gave Yosef this cloak to distinguish him from the others. And therefore it states, Vayira Echov ki Esei ohav aviha mikol Echov ayisno Esei. And the brothers saw this. They saw what Yaakov was doing. They saw that he loved Yosef more. He had seen in Yosef greater qualities, and he was distinguishing him. And they had a reason that they felt this was not right. This we went into at length in a shir last year, which unfortunately we don't have time now. And therefore, they hated him for it. Yaakov was priming Yosef to be the king over the brothers, and his brothers hated him for it. And therefore, when it states that Yaakov had dreams, and he would dream that all of the sheaves were bowing to his sheaf, or that the sun and the moon and all of the stars would come and bow to him. And his father said, or the brother said, Amolech timleich aleinu, will you reign over us? Will you rule over us? Vayigar by Aviv, publicly his father scolded him. But Aviv shomar es hadover. But privately he waited Mosai tovei. He waited and hoped for when it will come. And it was because of this, the Vilna Gaon writes, that we do not find in Parshas Vayechi, where Yaakov blessed all of the sons, the word brocha. by any of the brachos, except by Yosef. In Parshas Vayechi, he called all of his children together, and he gave each one a brocha. Each one, Ish Kibir Chosai Beirach Eson. Each one, the rightful brocha that was due to him. But the word brocha is not mentioned. Only by Yosef does it state, this is in Memteschov Beis, by the brochas of Yosef, there it states, Me'el avicha v'yazreka ve'eish adai v'vacheko birchei shomayim ma'ol birchei shtayim revetzes tochas birchei shodayim v'rocham birchei zavicha govra al birchei shairai atavis givus olam tiyena v'reisheisei v'lokot k'nezir achov. There it states many times brocha, because the brocha is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to Avraham lech lecho, and when he told him to go out of your land, or by the Akedah, by the offering of Yitzchok. Those brachas he gave to Avraham. And Avraham in turn gave them to Yitzchok and not to Yishmael. And Yitzchok in turn gave them to Yaakov and not to Esav. Now Yaakov, even though all of the 12 sons were included in the brachas, but the Iker HaBrachas, the main part of the brachas, were given to Yosef. Because he was the greatest heir. And therefore the word brocha is only mentioned there. And therefore Yosef was known as the Bala Brocha, the one who had received the greatest portion of the brocha. This is, explains why Tola HaKosuv Iker told this Yaakov be Yosef, while why the generations of Yaakov were called Yosef. A second principle that we mentioned, that we learned, that Yosef was the Sitnei Shel Esav. The power that would destroy Esav was Yosef. This also is for these reasons. Because, if you recall, when we learned Parshas Toldos, there, the Torah tells us, when Rivka was wondering what was happening, she was having great turbulence. So the prophecy came back and stated, you have two children. And these are not only children, but these are nations. And these are not only nations, but game. These are great, noble, aristocratic nations. And Lu'umim, they are empires. And Mimeayich Yiporedu, when they come out into the world, they will separate. Ula'om Milom Yemots, one will draw its strength from the other. These are two nations and two empires that can never make peace with each other. They will each go in a different way. And one will draw strength from the other. Leinivne sur elamichobon Yerushalayim kishzeh neifel zekom kishzeh kom ze neifel. They both will not reign equally. One will build from the destruction of the other. Rome will be built from the destruction of Yerushalayim, and Yerushalayim will be built from the destruction of Rome. When one rises up, the other will fall down. Verav yavei tzoir, but the end will be that the older one will serve and bow to the younger one. This was the prophecy. So we see that they were contradictory. They were two, but totally incompatible. And the power to destroy Esav was Yaakov. Verav yavei tzoir, that the end will be that the young one, which was Yaakov, will destroy Esav. Now Yaakov was the source of this power to destroy Esav. But the source is only potential. It comes into realization through a person's fruits. And a person's fruits are his toldos, are his generations. And since the main generation of Yaakov was Yosef, then the power to destroy Esau would be in Yosef. And this is the example the sages give. If you have a coal, the coal is the source of heat and fire. But it's a potential power. It's not actual yet, until there's a flame. Vayhi beis Yaakov esh. Yaakov is that fire of the Rav Yahweh Tzoir that will destroy Esau. Ubeis Yosef lehovo. But the flame that will come out, this will be Yosef. Ma lehovo is shelit merochek. A flame can project its force to faraway places. Af Yosef. And Esau, the house of Esau, will be strong. And since Yosef was the one that was like Yaakov, and in him inherent were all of these qualities of Yaakov, therefore, Mishanelid Yosef, once Yosef was born, Botach Yaakov Ba'akorish Borchu V'rotza Loshuv. Yaakov had faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he wanted to return. And he told Esau, Vayhi li Shor, don't start up with me, because I have Shor, say Yosef. And in this spiritual struggle between us, he will conquer you. And therefore also when he saw all of the great kings that the Torah was counting from Yosef, from Esau, and he became afraid, how will I ever be able to conquer all of them? So the Torah said, don't be afraid. Eile told us Yaakov Yosef. These are the generations of Yaakov Yosef. Through your power of Yosef, you will destroy them. So these are the qualities of Yosef. Yosef was the firstborn of Yaakov spiritually. And Yosef inherited the inner qualities and spirit of Yaakov. And therefore Yaakov primed him to be the leader of the brothers. And therefore he was happy when he heard of these dreams. And he made for him this coat to distinguish him. And this is why he taught him his Torah. And the Torah refers to him as the generations of Yaakov. And the Sitnei Shel Yosef, the power that will eventually destroy Sitnei Shel Esav, the power that will eventually destroy Esav. We'll ask one question to conclude this evening, and that is, if Yosef possessed all of these qualities and he was more like Yaakov than any of the sons, then he must have been very, very great. There are many, many examples of his greatness which we do not have time to go into this evening. And he was referred to as Yosef HaTzadik, Yosef the righteous. So it states that one of the reasons, or perhaps the precipitating reason, why the brothers hated him, because Vayove Yosef is dibosom roa el avihem. Yosef brought to their father dibosom roa, slander of the brothers. And Rashi states, Kol Rosh Yerei Be'echov. All of the, anything bad that he would see in the brothers, B'nei Leah, the children of Leah, Hoyamagi Loviv, he would come and tell his father. What was Yosef? A Baal Loshon Hora. Loshon Hora is from the greatest Averus. And if Yosef was supposed to be such a great tzaddik, so how did he do this?
And then Rashi brings, and this is from the Medrash, he would tell the fathers that the brothers were eating eva min achai, they were eating from an animal before they would kill the animal. Umezalzelin b'nei ashfochis, the kreisin b'avodim, and the sons of the maidservants of Zilpah and Bilhah, of the other two wives that were maidservants, they were mezalzelin. They would mock them. They would treat them very lightly and without dignity. And they would call them avodim. They would say, you're slaves because you were born from mothers that were slaves. Vechashudim ala arayis. And also they were chashudim ala arayis, that they were suspected of immorality, acts of immorality, acts of adultery, and so forth. This is what Yosef told the father. So this is the divosim roa, the loshon hara, that he would bring to his father. Ubishleishtun loko. And Yosef was punished for all three. Alever min achai v'yishrus yerizim b'mechirose v'leachlu achai. Ever min achai unto eating from an animal before killing it. And there it states that when they wanted to sell Yosef, and they wanted to show the father that he was torn by a wild animal, so it states they shechted a goat. So it says they shechted it. And they didn't eat it alive. And this, that he said that they called the other sons slaves. For this he was sold as a slave to Egypt. And this that he said, that they were guilty of acts of immorality, because of this, the wife of Potiphar came and framed him of an act of immorality, of adultery. So we see Bekul and Loko. But what's happening here? Yosef is supposed to be the tzaddik. And here, called Rosh, Sherobeoch, Be'echov, everything evil that he saw in his brothers, he went and told his father. And this was the precipitating mad factor why they hated him. And Mi'idoch Isa, from the other side, we can ask, that all of the sons were Shiftei Kor, they were all righteous. Why were they involved in such averus? So the Maral in his Gurai explains. The Medrash doesn't say that they did these things. The Medrash says Shehoyu Hashudim. They were suspected of this. Yosef suspected them. They didn't do it, but Yosef had suspected them. The Medrash gives a few examples. And what is meant, the way he explains, not that they called the other sons slaves. They didn't do that. But in their deal, in their mannerism of dealing with the other sons, Yosef could perceive that they were looking at the other sons as second rate, second class citizens. So this is what he meant, that they were choshuv. He had suspected them of looking at them as slaves. This that he said, that they were suspected of acts of immorality, not that they did any acts of immorality, but they would look at the daughters of the land, they would speak with the daughters of the land, they would be very friendly with them. So Yosef, from their conduct, suspected them of this. But they were enoki, they were innocent. And this that it says that they ate ever min achai, they ate from an animal before killing it, not that they did this. He suspected them. Why? Because he saw that the way that they treated animals was not with the type of compassion that he would have wanted them to treat animals with. And when the Torah commanded that you should kill an animal before eating it, because the greatest daxorius, the greatest ruthlessness, the greatest act, non-act of compassion,
is to eat from an animal before killing it. So therefore, he suspected them of this. And they were all innocent. So they were shifte kor. But now the question, so if they were innocent, why did Yosef suspect them? So in this he writes, this was because of his quality. Yosef was known as Yosef HaTzadik. He was the perfectly righteous person. He was unbending. We find that Yosef was so strong. Yosef was so staunch and so upright and unbending that even in Egypt, when he was sent there as a lad of 17 years old, and he was a servant in the household of Potiphar, and he was thrown in the dungeon with the lowest class scum of Egypt for years, and he rose to become the viceroy in the court of Paroi and to become the greatest and most wealthiest monarch in the world at that time. And still, after 22 years being separated from Yaakov's home, when Yaakov saw him, states the Yosef Hoya b'Mitzrayim, Omde b'Tzidkei, Yosef did not change. The same Yosef, Yaakov said, that learned Torah by me 22 years ago, is the same Yosef that's here. He successfully overcame every great test and temptation, be it of that of a slave, be it of a prisoner, be it of poverty, be it of tremendous wealth and power. Bani Yosef, this was the same Yosef that learned Torah by Yaakov Avinu. And not only this, but he gave birth to two sons in Egypt. These sons are Ephraim and Manasseh. He brought them up on foreign alien soil, and they also were tzaddikim. To the point when Yaakov said, Ephraim and Manasseh, Keruven v'Shimon Yuli, they're my sons. They will be the same as Reuven and Shimon. They have the same greatness as my sons Reuven and Shimon that were brought up by Yaakov Avinu and Eretz Yisrael, your sons that were brought up in the house of Paroi. So this is why he was called Yosef HaTzadik. And it tells us before, we learned that in Parshas Vayishlach, when they were coming to the confrontation with Esav, and it states that first he put the maidservants and the children behind them, and then he put Leah and the children behind them, and then he put Rachel and the children behind Rachel, Yosef and Binyamin. When Esav came forward, Yosef stepped in front of Rachel, and Yosef was tall, and it said that he brought up his great height, his entire height, in order that Esav should not cast his evil eye on his mother Rachel, because this was Yosef's quality. Rachel represented the Akeres Abayis, the Kedusha of Klal Yisrael, and Esav represented the tomb of the impurity. And Yosef was going to be the protector of the Kedushas Yisrael, the sanctity of Israel. So Yosef was someone who was very, very staunch, and very strong and unbending, and very disciplined and perfect. And this is his quality. And when he saw the conduct of the other brothers, they were not doing anything wrong. But according to his level, it was wrong. When he saw that When they spoke to the other brothers, they didn't speak in the same way as to Leah's children. He could comprehend their as that they looked at them as a second-class citizen, and therefore he suspected them of looking at them as avodim. And when he saw their conduct with the daughters of the land, he suspected them. And when he saw their conduct with the animals also, he suspected them. This was all accordance to his quality, to his level. They were tzaddikim, they were righteous, because they were acting as regular righteous people. But for Yosef's towering level, it was not perfect. And therefore, he brought this to the father. And his kavona was l'shem shemayim, he meant well. He meant that the father must rebuke the sons. This explains to us how there was no Avera. But then we can ask another question. So then why was Yosef punished for this? Why was he punished? So here the Maral tells us a very important principle. Yosef was punished because this is not the ultimate in righteousness. This is not the ultimate in righteousness. Righteousness to exact perfection, to demand perfection, this one must demand of himself, not of others. A tzaddik means when you're a tzaddik al atzma, not al achirim. When it comes to demanding perfection, demanding perfect discipline, demanding perfect staunchness, this one must demand from himself. But when he deals with others, there then this is the place of tolerance, of to judge. To judge your brother with merit, and to relax your standards. Yosef was the tzaddik, but he had not completely matured with this righteousness. He was exacting these standards over himself and over others also. In exacting them over himself, he was right, but in over others, he was wrong. And therefore, for that he was punished. Until eventually he became the tzaddik gomer, the perfectly righteous person, who even in the end did not want to hold anything against his brethren, even for selling him to Egypt. This explains to us what took place here and gives us a very important principle in what does it mean tzaddik righteousness. Righteousness, perfect standards, this means that one must exact these over himself, but not over others. So here we have an explanation now of why Yosef is called Eile Toldos Yaakov Yosef. These are the generations of Yaakov Yosef, that he is considered the main heir of his father Yaakov, and why Yaakov loved him more than all of his other sons, ben zikunim hulai, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him the ksonis pasim, and he made him the coat of many colors. Yosef was to become, as we see now in the later parshas, the leader of the brothers, and the one who would fill the steps of his fathers and bring these qualities to Klal Yisrael together with his brothers. And may we be zeche to learn from these qualities and to emulate them.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za, or contact us via email at audio@yGJ.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.